This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Cubs fans, it's Pat Hughes.
And Ron Coomer here.
And right now you're listening to the Spiegel and Holmes Show.
We're a very important radio show.
Very good, Matt. Thank you.
That should be a tagline for this show.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Lawrence Holmes.
Yeah. Lawrence, don't call me Larry.
Spiegel guy.
What's his first name?
Going great, Max. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Matt. Always a pleasure. Speak to you soon.
And Lawrence, stop dominating the conversation the way you have over the last several minutes, really.
Adam Amin.
This show is a party today. My goodness.
I like this kind of party.
I was wondering what that cloud was after Hudler walked out of the room.
Dude.
Man, anytime you guys want me, I'll come in the studio. We'll have some fun.
Just to be clear, like, we love fun.
It is on like radar show.
That's the one, Lawrence.
Yeah.
That's why we're a team. Team, baby.
I like our team.
You guys are great.
You're right. Thanks, Chris.
All right, Weasel.
We'll send him the book.
From Emerson College, the good vibes provider, 5'10", Matt Spiegel.
Hey, where is space?
From DePaul University at 5'10", Lawrence Hall.
Thank you.
5'10".
Lawrence has done it all. Earned his master's from the University of Alabama.
High time!
Lawrence Holmes, congratulations to you. You are appreciated by many, many people.
Matt Spiegel is one of the great baseball people, and not only in this town, but across the country.
Chris is talented. Chris has got it. Chris is the best part of the show.
Ron wants Coon to get their wish.
First of all, thanks for having me. I always enjoy being on with you, Lawrence. King of Evergreen Park.
You guys are the not messing around crew. I like it.
You guys are friends of the program, man. I could never turn y'all down.
Everything everyone said about the score and you being a tyrant is totally wrong. Wait, is that what you wanted to say? Write it down again.
If they mention the score, we'll go hug it out.
Gonna hug it out with Jeremy Piven.
Matt was talking about the dishwasher. That's my kind of sports radio right there.
This is where we have a big open and then it's like, music!
Chicago! Let's go!
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. We have got you until 6 o'clock tonight. And we might have to revisit something that was said in that open by Ben Johnson a little bit later on in today's show. Three-man formation, although we are also kind of in the 12 formation because both Tylers are in the control studio. Buterbaugh just finished, though. Like, he's got all of the treats that we got from Nuts on Clark. Thanks to them for dropping by a gift bag for us. And, Spiegs, you will appreciate this. That man is Matt Spiegel, by the way.
Hello.
It's banana-themed.
Oh, it is, huh? Because it's the banana weekend. The Savannah. Look, dude, nothing can break my mood. I scored tickets to the Savannah Bananas for tonight. It's me and the Roopster and my brother-in-law and my nephew. Everybody is over the moon. We can't wait to go. It is an 80-degree day in Chicago. You got planes flying overhead. You cannot defeat my mood today. I'm undefeatable. One of those days.
I ran into the bananas yesterday.
I saw that in our the same place we ran into Kevin Warren. Our lobby is happening, man.
It is happening. It's very crazy. I go down there and I'm like, oh, those look like the bananas. And like, oh, the firefighters are here too. So I yelled at them, Speaks. I go, I'm a party animals guy. And they all started cracking up laughing and told me I had to leave. So, but they were like super nice. I went over and met a couple people and shook hands. Amazing. And took a picture, threw it up on my Instagram if you want to follow and take. I think it's still up there. Yeah, because it was after 6 o'clock. So it's still up there. At Lawrence W. Holmes is where you can check it out. So Baby T is in charge. Tanny's last day of vacation is today. Alex is gone. Like, he's just in Europe. I'm sure he is drunk right now, having himself a time.
And that was a new open, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that's
a new post-Cubs open.
That's a new post-Cubs open from Tanny, who has announced his imminent return with authority, is what it sounded like to me. That was a delightful piece of tape. Yeah, I'm not surprised the bananas were in a good mood. It's a good time to be a banana. You know what I mean? You're traveling the country. You're touring. You are selling out big league ballparks everywhere you go. It is better to be a banana than it is to be a Cub, Lawrence Holmes. That was something, wasn't it? I'm telling you, though, I laughed. I don't know if I'm alone among the listeners. I literally had to laugh out loud when Pete overslid second base, because it was like, on a day when that dude was feeling it, he was absolutely feeling it for what looked like the first time in months. And on that one, he overslides. It's like, all right, your fastest runner is on base, about to get into scoring position with nobody out in a one-run game, and he overslides. It's like, this is one of the darkest stretches of baseball that you can have for a good team. And they are a good team, but this is a dark and ugly stretch. And maybe that thing broke me. I literally laughed out loud. There's no more angst available. I don't have any more angst available right now.
Well, you're feeling the flow right now because you're going to have a good night. But there are a lot of Cubs fans who are not. There are folks that are leaving Wrigley Field and Wrigleyville right now, and they are furious about what's going on. How bad is it? Let me give you some statistical background here.
Okay.
The Cubs are 16-13 in one-run games. The Cubs are 28th in scoring in their last 30 games.
Stop right there. 28th in scoring in their last 30 games for an offense that was the talk of MLB for like the first 3.5 months of the season. And everybody was flying high. Jed got an extension where everybody's off and rolling. We're talking playoff rotations and all of that. But the offense has completely crapped the bed and most of the key people have stopped producing.
They are 9-14 in their last 23 games. Oof. They are 8.5 games back of the Milwaukee Brewers.
That series, Lawrence, that 5-game series in 4 days, which was so exciting to contemplate, is now looking terrifying. Like, that is, now the reaction to that is kind of fearful. Like, oh boy, that's going to be ugly, and is that going to knock them out of the wild card?
Yeah,
is that series enough to knock them all the way out of playoff position at that moment?
I was thinking about that, where luckily for them, the Mets are not any good right now either. But the Reds are a team that you now have to be fearful of. And now you have to at least maintain your position in the wild card. That's how you have to look at the Brewers series, where you have to maintain your position as the number one or number two wild card.
Because you are dead heat with the Dodgers and 4 games up on the Mets, 4.5 up on the Reds. And look, either one of those teams, but more likely the Reds with Francona and the second half stats that we got from our guy Gordon Whitmire a few weeks ago. And just, I mean, that team's got Hunter Green back now. It's a scary thing. And you're dead heat with the Dodgers. Good teams are slumping. And you're one of them, but this is a dark, dark moment. I had all the angst in the world and the anger yesterday. I don't have it today. I found myself laughing. But go ahead, give me some more.
I have one more. This is from Tony Andracki. The Cubs haven't had a comeback win since July 2nd.
Wow.
They just made the list.
So you take a lead on the Cubs since the 2nd of July. They're toast.
That's the longest streak in franchise history.
It is grim, dude. It's like, you know what I've been saying. I think something is very defeated in that clubhouse and in that mix. And I don't know what is being done to try and snap them out of it, but it doesn't seem to be enough. And maybe it's just individual guys that have to snap themselves out of it. It looked like Pete had today. You had referenced it a couple days ago, dude. Seeing Kyle Tucker this frustrated, this long now, we're going on a week with him. Like, I was texting with a guy who was at the game today, right? And he's like, I never saw Tucker so frustrated. I'm like, actually, that's been going on for about a week now.
Yeah, he has been demonstrative in his reaction to not hitting the ball.
Dude, Owen Casey is here and didn't play today against a mediocre right-handed starter for the Pirates. Kyle Tucker should have been on the injured list probably a couple days ago. Phantom or not, give that dude a mental break. And, you know, maybe it'll happen tomorrow, but for Owen Casey to be here and not sniff the lineup on day two is odd. I know that you are hamstrung a bit in terms of roster flexibility because Hap and Tucker and Seiya can only either play the corners or DH. Like that's it. So you got three guys for three spots. You'd have to sit one of them, and he's not going to sit Ian.
Ian probably should sit no matter who's pitching.
Or you could just hit him clean up. You could hit him clean up.
Yeah,
instead.
Him hitting clean up, not great. If you want more horrible numbers, Ian Happ over the last 30 games, 218, 304, 386. Ian Happ over the last 7 games, 167, 286, 208.
208 is the slugging percentage in the last 7 games. Yeah, man, the at bat yesterday, obviously in the 8th inning with 2nd and 3rd and nobody out, and then today with the bases loaded and nobody out, and they get one run on a sacrifice fly. It's absurd. There's a thought process on leadoff here, man. It's like, I mean, Michael Busch is not Kyle Schwarber. Kyle Schwarber walks a lot. Michael Busch doesn't walk a lot. Yet.
Correct.
You know, so and looking at this is on the season. On base percentage from the leadoff position, the Cubs are 22nd in on base percentage from the leadoff position. In terms of batting average from leadoff, they're 27th with a .227 batting average from the leadoff spot. That was obviously Ian for a long time, and he did a nice job, but he was there for a long time as he struggled and it fell apart. And since then, Bush had, his first 5 games, Bush got on base, but they don't have an answer there. It ought to be Nico. To me, it should just be Nico every day. Go ahead and let Nico be there and do his thing.
I feel like that's probably your best chance. And the other thing is that you've got to, it looks like a dead team. And it looks like guys need breaks. And I Craig's trying to do that. Like he's seemingly trying to get guys off their feet. But I think a couple of those guys might need to be off their feet for a while. By the way, to go back to the PCA stuff, because, you know, I used to say to Dan all the time, a little too much dip on his chip sometimes. And I think that that's one of the things that drives him as a player.
That's the thing, Lawrence. He had the dip on his chip in the first 3 at-bats and sometimes in the field today. And I was like, there's that dude. He's got to be that dude. That's who he is when he's good. But this was rough.
Yeah, and him getting thrown out in that situation. And it wasn't close either, Spiegs. Like, the play 2 second wasn't close. And then him sliding over the bag also wasn't close. He overslid it by 3 feet. By 3 feet!
Yeah.
On a play where he was clearly safe. This is what Craig Counsell had to say about it afterwards.
I think he had a really good day. I mean, I think it's the kind of day that, you know, we're hoping that he has. And offensively, he's such a big part of you know, what, how we're going to be successful. I mean, he got thrown out with two outs trying to stretch a single and a double on a tough day to score, you know. And then the stolen bases, you know, I don't know what to say about it. It unfortunately, it happened, you know.
You still like that aggressiveness from Pete in the late in the ninth inning especially?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I mean, I think if we've got Pete Grawn-Armstrong on first, we're going to run.
Just an unfortunate slide.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I think we've got one of the top base stealers in baseball. You know, we're gonna take a chance to get him to second, and because on a day where it's again, it's a little bit harder to you're against a closer, you know, just one hit instead of two hits. I think it's a risk, of course, and that's what happens when the risk, unfortunately. But I think we'll always try to be aggressive in that situation.
I don't know if Pete has had a chance to comment on it post game, but he was compromised physically after that play in the outfield, and thought maybe he was going to leave the game. He finds a way to stay in the game. I have to wonder if he's like thinking about part of his body in some different way physically in order for that overslide.
I don't know,
because
man.
You can't. I mean, that can't happen.
It cannot happen.
It cannot happen. And counsel was like trying to, like, of course you go. Of course you be aggressive. He had it stolen by a mile, like you said. The overslide cannot happen. And it's a brutal, brutal mistake. And I wonder if he was compromised physically, because he had been for the back half of that game.
The throw out at second, trying to stretch, I'm actually all for that play.
Me too.
Because totally you're trying to get into scoring position, and you're hoping that they don't make a perfect play. And they made one, and they got it. I was a little concerned. Like, I was like, wait, did the run get in? But luckily it did. I don't have a problem with that, but the overslide, you can't do that. You've got to grab the bag, and maybe this is another one of those weird things where we've now had two situations where we're talking about oven mitts on guys, and you wonder if in this weird week, if that's something that you start thinking about, on whether or not to have it on, because it takes away the opportunity of you gripping the bag on the other side from one of your hands.
I didn't think he had it on. I'm looking at it now. I don't think he, it was, yeah, no, he did on the left hand. You're right. He did. He did have it on. Watching the replay now, he did have it on left. He's got a smaller one than other guys do. It's a little bit smaller. But yeah, it's. I think he was planning to try and hook it with the front of his left foot, and it absolutely did not happen. Hey, by the way, Lawrence, I'll be there tomorrow. I'm doing pregame and postgame in the fifth inning, a play by play tomorrow, and then of course hit and run on Sunday morning. So I'll be all over this Cubs thing for the next couple of days.
And then what happens on Monday?
And then on Monday, I sing the national anthem there for the first of the five games.
That's where the turnaround's going to happen. That's where it is.
It's too much pressure now, man.
It's a lot of pressure that's going to be on you. Oh, by the way, things are not great at Halas Hall either.
It was an interesting press conference from Ben Johnson today.
Yeah.
We've got things to break down on our own, even after Chris Emma gives us everything that he thinks.
The practice seemed to have gone fine, but yeah, the overall picture of what's happening up there, not great. Chris Emma's got a Bears hit. You do not want to miss it. It's next on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
We'll go next to Chris Emma from 670 The Score. Go ahead, Chris.
Chris Emma.
I will fight Chris Emma. Name the time, name the place. I'll be there, Chris Emma.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
Covering the Bears quite a bit, as he always does, and we're always happy to have him aboard. Chris Emma.
Yeah, we got you, Chris. Chris, you look like you're working that technology about like I did.
Lead Bears writer for 670thescore.com.
We have time for one more Chris Emma. This will be the last one.
Well, Coach, just say the word, and I'll get my technique fine-tuned and ready for your offensive line.
Chris Emma with Spiegel and Holmes.
I like it.
On 670 The Score.
We like it, too. Chris Emma joining us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. And Bears training camp coverage on The Score is presented by Chevy Drive Chicago and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of your Chicago Bears. All right, Emma, we got another joint practice. What do we know?
Boys, 2.5 hours in a very hot day out in Lake Forest. It was good action. I'll start with the results. And I came away encouraged by the Bears while also believing that the Bills were the better team on both sides of the football. And speaking with some of my counterparts and colleagues on the Buffalo side, came to that agreement. I thought the Bears asserted themselves well while also reminding themselves of what a challenge it is going up against a Super Bowl contender on both sides of the football. Buffalo has better personnel, starting, of course, with the MVP and Josh Allen. But there were good moments. I thought the Bears had a physical practice that matched a Bills team that was ready to match that physicality. We saw the Bears push around the Dolphins last week, and Sean McDermott knew that. He told his team, be ready, because they're coming after us. We got to take it to them. And it was really good competitive action through 2.5 hours. That's a long practice these days. So it was a productive practice for these two teams ahead of Sunday night's kickoff at Soldier Field.
Well, that's really encouraging, and we're going to listen to stuff and dissect words as we have, but let's stay with this for a second, Chris, because this is the goods. This is, you know, joint practices. They take it seriously, and as you said, this is a Super Bowl contender. So, like, physically on the offensive line and the defensive line, did it look like these two problem areas where they've invested a lot were up to the snuff to match up with a real team today?
I think the Bears' defensive line asserted itself well against the Bills' offensive line. On the other side, you saw the concerns of the Bears' offensive line come out today, and the Bills have some guys up there. I mean, Greg Rousseau was everywhere. Joey Bosa was noticeable. Buffalo's defensive front came after those guys, and you saw the Bears' issues both protecting Caleb Williams. Obviously, he was not getting sacked. We'll get to something about that later here with Caleb, but there was a lot of pre-snap issues. There were a lot of penalties, false starts, holdings. You saw a lot of the things we've seen when it's Bears on Bears kind of rear their ugly head today as it was Bears on Bills.
Okay, so what did the guys say about, at least on offense, on what was going on?
Well, let's hear from two guys who are out there on both sides of the football. Colston Loveland first, and you're going to hear from Tremaine Edmonds after. We got to face his former team today in the Bills. Here's how they both felt it went on their respective sides of the football.
Yeah, like I said, it's a blessing to be able to do that. You know, that's a team right there, and they got some guys. Yeah, it just kind of shows you, you know, that's we wouldn't want to play anyone but the best. And, you know, they came in here, and they were very competitive, you know, very chirpy, and, you know, that's how we wanted it. And, yeah, I think it was great for us to, you know, have that long practice, you know, get, you know, down in the dirt and just kind of fight our way out of that. Lot to learn from it. Like I said, we got to go over the tape and kind of see exactly how everything looked. But yeah, I mean, just a blessing that we could play that team or practice with that team, and then, you know, play this team on Sunday. So it's gonna be a good deal.
Right. I mean, it's good. You know what I mean? You're going against an MVP quarterback. You know, it challenges you. You know what I mean? And just being able to, you know, execute our stuff, going through our communications, and, you know, just going through the things that we've been doing throughout camp. You know, I think we took a step out there, you know, extremely happy with, you know, the stuff that we put out there. Obviously, after every practice, there's always going to be stuff that you got to get better with. But just being able to challenge yourself, you know, obviously you play this game to go against the best. You know, he's playing big time ball. So being able to see where we are and, you know, obviously there's a lot of film we got to go back and look at. So I don't know every little thing that happened, but it's always good when you go out against great competition for sure.
Okay, so right. Yeah, that's fun when you get the opportunity to kind of match it up and see where you're at with the team and hope that you can match their energy or maybe surpass their energy, knowing that they might have a better overall roster and clearly are more together because of stability of players on the roster and coaches.
Yeah, I think they embrace the challenge. And they didn't disrespect the Dolphins at all, but I think they came away thinking, man, we're the better team than the Dolphins. And, like, I would take that under on whatever the Dolphins win total is. I was just so unimpressed with them last week and carried over a bit into Sunday as well at Soldier Field. You know what the Bills are. You know 17's at quarterback. You know they've got talent all around them on offense. That defense has dudes out there. It's a different test. And I think the Bears got up for it. I think they were juiced to be out there facing guys that they know are going to be there playing late into January. Like I said, you saw the Bills' talent shine. Yeah, the Bills were the better team today, but it wasn't dramatically different. This wasn't a lopsided result in practice. You saw the Bears, I think, really rise to the challenge a bit and assert themselves well. The highlight of the day for me on the offensive side was a 3rd-and-2 where the Bills showed their defensive front coming at Caleb Williams. He got a quick release. I think it was his second read. It was Olamide Zaccheaus. Hit him in stride. You can see the video on social media. And Zaccheaus just broke free. He is fast. He's got the explosiveness. He went 45 yards to the house for a touchdown. That got the crowd into it out there. It was a good play by Caleb Williams, getting that quick release out there, trusting number 14, who he's seen all throughout camp. And talk with some of my friends on the Buffalo side. They said, man, Zaccheaus looks like a guy out there. And you've seen that all throughout camp. And it's good to see Caleb Williams developing that connection both with the veteran Zaccheaus and obviously his fellow second-year guy in Roma Dunze, who's had some good moments as well.
Yeah, so Caleb had a really good day apparently today up until a false start and kind of things fell apart on the later end. But let's get to this Ben Johnson on Caleb because, you know, he had set the bar very high for Caleb on a very important stat, hadn't he, Chris? And today he kind of backed away from it a little bit because he has to.
Well, one thing I love with Ben Johnson is he's not afraid to give you stuff. He's going to be honest about a lot of the things, his own expectations for his players in this collective team. And he volunteered it at the start of training camp, saying that 70% completion is a goal for Caleb Williams. That's a lofty goal. That's setting the bar high. And it tells you how Ben Johnson views his young quarterback and the standard that's in place. So I believe it's our buddy Jason Leisure followed up on that, saying, where is Caleb to that 70% mark? Here's Ben Johnson.
I don't have the exact number, but we've been underneath that bar, which, that happens. We're learning, we're growing. I think early on we were probably 55. It's gotten better as camp has gone on, but we haven't hit that threshold as often as we'd like.
Now, what have you worked with Caleb on as far as the throwing accuracy, and did you guys look at last year at all? Because he seemed kind of mystified by some of his accuracy issues from last season, because that's not been his that wasn't an issue for him in college, and then he wasn't where he wanted to be.
I mean, it always
be able to see that you could adjust.
Yeah, in my opinion, it always starts with the feet. It doesn't matter what level you're at, but it always starts with the feet for a quarterback. And if you're not aligned properly from the ground up, then you're going to have inconsistencies with your target. So that's what we've been talking about, you know, and specifically for all right-handed quarterbacks, when you throw to a target that's moving from the right to the left, you typically throw it behind. And so you have to train yourself to make sure you're opened up enough to throw him to where he's going to be and not where he's at. And so that's something we talked about going into the summer break and something we still harp on. You can't get enough of that. You know, it takes a long time to develop habits. And so, you know, that's the starting point. I think he's got a very clean – he's got a beautiful throwing motion. I mean, that was ingrained into him at a young age, and I think that still shows up. So there's nothing mechanically wrong, but it's just all about the alignment and getting out in front of the target.
To Emma's point, that's some real stuff from Ben Johnson. We'd always heard about Caleb, quote, he's a beautiful thrower of the football, unquote. Remember hearing about that in scouting. And that's still true. But that stuff about got to open up enough so you make sure that you lead a guy instead of being lazy, throwing across your body a little bit, like that's some real technical specific stuff that Caleb is not impressing his coach with.
Well, the idea of him saying, yeah, the guy has a really good throwing motion, but it's back to like ground zero speeds. It's all about how he is on his base. And if they're still at this place where you're talking about like that as a fundamental issue with your quarterback, like that's a little concerning to me.
When you go to the back of your drop, like he's used to looking around, seeing it, and then, ooh, I'll move my feet. And Ben wants him clearly to go back to in his drop, Chris, and then just
drive the ball.
Be open enough that he can put it wherever he needs to be at that point, right?
One thing I keep going back to is like Ben Johnson had a lot of opportunities out there in January, and obviously he had 13 million plus reasons to come to the Bears. But the draw there is Caleb Williams. Like he wanted to work with this young quarterback, and this is a chance now to get his hands on him and really figure things out. And I think the accuracy is one thing that jumped out in particular to Ben Johnson, was that it's not good enough. He can be better with this and coach the right way. Now you're seeing them really hone in on those details. And you heard Ben Johnson talk about everything he wants to see of Caleb Williams. There was a throw a couple days ago in practice where he rolled out to his left across his body. He had a man wide open against the sideline and just misfired. It was what like an impressive arm talent throw to make and just missed. And there's just examples of that where he's been misfiring. Forget the net drill. I know that became a thing, but like there's moments in practice where just if you make a cleaner operation to get that ball out, you're connecting. You're closer to that 70% benchmark. So he's getting there. It's developing the right way. And I think with everything with Caleb Williams and this entire offense, just still preaching patience because there's still time. I think this has gone somewhat as Ben Johnson imagined and expected in terms of the development track. And this is the time to coach these things up.
Okay, so what else do we need to know?
Well, I want to touch on something else that jumped out to me from Caleb Williams' day, because there was a moment against the Bills' first-team defense where he would have taken a sack. Rosso came on around the edge. The play was blown dead. They're obviously not taking him down. But in comes Bosa, good old number 97, who likes to get under the skin of quarterbacks, and gave a little bit of a poke toward almost like the neck area of Caleb Williams. And I saw it. People in the crowd saw it. I thought the offensive line should have seen it. And we heard Ryan Poles when he came in back in 22 talking about a moment where Justin Fields took a late hit out of bounds and none of his linemen stepped in there. Now, the catch with this drill was it was a no-huddle drill. They were trying to get to the line. They're up against the clock. I don't care about that. If I'm Joe Tooney, if I'm Drew Dolman, I'm getting right between that 9 and 7 on Bosa and going after him. And I talked with my buddy, our colleague, Sal Capaccio, WGR, who covers the Bills. He said they would have had to pull Deion Dawkins out of the entire field area and out of Hallis Hall if that happened to Josh Allen. Not a single Bears offensive lineman stepped in there. They ran up to the huddle, got this next snap in. There was nothing after that. And that opened my eyes. And I know that opened the eyes of Ryan Poles, because that's what bothered him when it happened to Justin Fields. When you're doing that on your home turf at practice to your quarterback, your young quarterback, that should set people off. I'm willing to bet that Ben Johnson, Dan Rusher, anybody who's watching that film talks to their offensive lineman saying, guys, I don't care about that next play. You get after that guy and stand up for your quarterback.
Let's talk about the left tackle position, because as I was watching the press conference today, Emma, I started to feel very bad about this competition that's going on. What's happening there?
Guys, this is not going well right now. This is a three-man competition where the fourth guy might win right now. I'll set the scene here in practice today. Theo Benedict continued to work with the ones at left tackle. Braxton Jones mixed in as well. Ozzie Trapillo worked exclusively as the right tackle with the second team unit. Braxton Jones mixed in at left tackle with the twos as well. What this is telling me is that Ozzie Trapillo is not really in this mix anymore, that they're getting ready to prepare him as a swing tackle, that they're kind of conceding that this might just be a redshirt year, at least the first half of the year for Ozzie Trapillo. Theo Benedict's a real character in this mix. So you're going to hear from Ben Johnson. I think you're going to sense the frustration of how this is going. Here's Ben Johnson.
Yeah, hopefully some clarity. That's what we're looking for. You know, this thing's gone on now 3.5 weeks, and you know, I said, and I'll say it again, we'll go as long as we need to go to find the right guy, but we'd like to see someone go ahead and make it clear to us that he is that guy. And we just haven't seen that yet as a staff. There's been too much up and down. And so, you know, today's practice will be a huge thing, and so will Sunday's game in terms of getting some clarity there on that. We'd love to go ahead and solidify that spot and move forward from there. And it might be one of those things where when we make that decision, it's not final for the season. It could be we have to reassess after a couple of weeks of the season, or by the bye week we might have to reassess. So it might be something that goes on. Wouldn't be ideal, but you know, that's the name of the league. So
Ozzie specifically, what is your focus area of improvement with him?
It's really play speed. There are times where the feet have gotten a little bit slow at times, both in the run game and in pass pro. So the mental of just speeding up, ball snap, let's go ahead and get in a good physical position here to block the man in front of me. It's been a little bit of up and down.
Where does Theo fit into the tackle competition right now? And is that a three-man competition, a four-man competition at this point?
I think he's right in the middle of it. I've been very, very excited about Theo and what he's done, both on the right and the left side. So I don't think he's a guy, I know he's probably overlooked to start this competition, but the longer this thing's gone on, there's a strong argument for what he's put on tape.
Ozzie has spent more time on the right side this week than he did on the left side. Have you noticed him,
Ozzie? Yeah,
spent more time on the right side this week than the left side. Have you noticed him being more comfortable playing his natural position than on the left side?
There's no doubt that that's probably where he's accumulated most reps over the last few years, and so there is a comfort level that comes with that. And so when I talk about the feet and the speed of the feet, it is faster there on the right side.
Are looking at the matchups that you have coming in week in and week out at that left tackle position, because you're going to have Aiden Hutchinson, Micah Parsons, guys like that opposite of whoever that left tackle is.
Yeah, this is not going to be a revolving door. That's not what we want. We want one guy to clearly come out and say this is his job. We haven't gotten that yet from our crew. And so at some point we have to pick somebody that's going to start week one if we don't have that clarity over the next, call it, week and a half, and we'll do that. And if we have to continue to battle it out over the course through the bye week and then that's the course of that's the nature of the NFL. You know, we're going to start, I hate to say, I'd love to have just five guys start on the offensive line for all 17 plus games, but that's just not reality. We're going to have a lot of guys cycling on through. It's attrition, it's a long season, that's how this thing works. And so we're not afraid of it. It'll be next man up. And you know, if one guy's not performing up to snuff, then we'll find someone else that can.
Man, that is some heavy stuff, dude. I had to giggle a couple times because, like, oh, Ozzie on the right side. Oh, yeah, he's a lot better there because he's bad on the left. Like, it is Right? I mean, Ben is telling you stuff and like, yeah, it'd be nice. We're waiting for somebody to win the job and nobody's doing that. So they got the Canadian kid in there.
Yeah.
Lawrence, you've been saying for a couple weeks, they wanted Ozzie Trapillo to win that job. I think it's clear that he has not.
He is not. And that quote of, we'd like to see someone go ahead and make it clear that he's that guy. The season starts in 3 weeks.
It's Braxton. It is going to be Braxton against Brian Flores. His blitzes, and then as the beat said, who was it? Was that Herb Howard? Said Michael Parsons and Aiden Hutchinson. Ain't no way in hell that Ozzie Slowfeet, Chris Emma, is going to get a start at left tackle in the first 3 weeks. Don't you agree?
I think Brian Flores is enjoying the heck out of this tackle competition right now. Like, who can I just abuse for that entire Monday night game? It's not going well, guys. Like, you're right, Spies. I think it's probably Braxton Jones. And at this rate, I agree. I think they wanted it to be Ozzie Trapillo. He's just not comfortable moving from the right side to the left side. It's been more of an adjustment than they wanted. Now they're getting ready to be the swing tackle in a sense, and I think they'll develop him at the left side throughout the course of the year. Kron Amagaji just kind of no-showed in this competition. It's down to Braxton Jones, who started 40 games in that spot the last 3 years, and Theo Benedict, who is an undrafted rookie. And like, I'm telling you, I think he's a legitimate candidate in this mix right now. Ben Johnson said so as well. You've seen him when they get out there with their first team offense. He's been the first guy out there. So I don't know if that credit to Theo, obviously, but like also sound the alarm bells because this has not gone smoothly.
Correct. All right. So the offense was sloppy again today, which has been an issue. What's going on?
A lot of pre-snap issues, a lot of false starts. It was not a clean operation, and it's hard to get a sense of who's responsible. I think part of it, frankly, is that the Bills were getting after them a little bit in terms of the pre-snap stuff and taking advantage of it. You're going to hear from Colston Loveland here, the rookie. I enjoy his maturity and his way of looking at this these issues. So here's Colston Loveland.
Yeah, just got to clean it up. Just can't have that this late. In a training camp, you know, this should be talking about football corrections and everything. You know, we take it on the chin next play and just try to be better next practice, next play. So, yeah, I got to clean all those things up. And, you know, that's on us as a team. You know, we all got to take accountability for that. And, yeah, we'll get it cleaned up.
Does that dampen the mood when you guys walk off the practice field? I mean, you've been out there for 2.5 hours almost, and then it's like kind of that sour note that still sticks with you. Is that how it feels when you leave, when there's a lot of pre-snap errors still?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you don't have a practice you'd like, it wasn't as good as you thought you could have done. Yeah, I think, you know, it doesn't ever feel great. But, you know, that's why we got meetings. You know, we go in, we correct the tape, get everything off our chest. We're honest with everything, clean everything up, and then, boom, we're on to the next day. You know, you can't dwell on it too much, but you obviously got to look at it and get those corrections made.
So, Emma, it seems like the theme, if I could pick one theme out from Ben Johnson press conferences, he hates this. He hates that this continues to happen, but it continues to happen. Has anyone up there given you a good reason why it hasn't stopped?
I think a lot of it's on the quarterback still, figuring out things with the pre-snap cadences, with getting guys aligned properly. Like I said, I think today it was a lot on the Bills. I think the Bills were throwing some stuff out there, whether they're barking pre-snap or trying to take advantage of it. But, I think this is the collective adjustment of this offense. These guys getting used to a new scheme and also Caleb handling it all. So I think it'll improve over time, but it's going to be choppy as you go into the season. You're going to have some of these issues the first few weeks of the year. And obviously when you're facing, we know what the Vikings are going to present defensively. They're going to come after you. They're going to get some disguised look. They're going to try to challenge you. And that they're going to be able to take advantage of that too. So it's got to be a cleaner operation these final few weeks of camp because it's been choppy so far.
One of the things that we've learned with the benefit of now covering our third straight young quarterback trying to grow into the position is that the pre-snap stuff is often on the quarterback, and you end up with tight ends like Colston Loveland answering questions in a careful way. That's a rookie right there who's got to be careful because you don't exactly know who it's on. So we learned a lot from Mitch Trubisky and Justin Fields alike.
Trubisky, you say?
He's here.
Emma, did y'all talk with Mitch?
Out there wearing number 11 in red on the Bills side, Mitch Trubisky back in House Hall for the first time since 2020. Believe it or not, this is year 9 for Mitch, and he's settled into that role as the backup. He's bounced around the league a little bit, but he got to revisit with some of the local beat writers. Here's Mitch Trubisky.
Brought back a lot of good memories coming back here, so felt like we had a really good joint practice today. Nice catching up with some old friends, and it's good to be back. Thought we had a good day, and it was very productive.
When you got here today, did the memories like come back? Like, what was it like getting back here?
Yeah, definitely. It was nice seeing old friends, nice seeing the facility. It just brings back a lot of memories being back here, very nostalgic. Just being in this indoor, I mean, put a lot of work in here, and it's just good to be back. It feels good, honestly.
Mitch, what are your lasting memories of 2018?
2018, it felt like we couldn't lose, and we just had a really good team, and it was one of the most fun years of football I had, and I'll always remember that, and all my teammates that we had that year. It was a great run, and a lot of good memories from that season.
I mean, good for him for being able to have the good memories. Life is too short. I thought he'd be out of the league by now.
Year nine
just about broke me. Right there, when Emma said it's year 9, I hadn't put that together in my head.
I figured that because he's got so many tantalizing skills, and because he's still pretty athletic, I figured that he would be a 10-year guy, and that's where we're at. Like, he'll always work. Want to know how much money he's made?
Yeah, I do, because he's a nice enough dude that he gets to hang around. He makes rooms better, not worse.
Yeah,
sure.
He's a nice kid, always works hard. You know, just never quite figured it out. Mitch has made $49 million.
I mean, he's no Chase Daniel. He's not a nominee.
He's not a nominee. Although, give Mitch another five years where he's making number two money. Maybe.
What's it, 75 mil? If he gets to 75 mil and doesn't play that much.
Yeah, if he gets to 75 mil and haven't really played since 2020, yeah, that's a strong candidacy for Hall of Famer at the bank.
Nuggets, he's done well tidbits for himself.
Yeah, he is. Chris, what do you got? Nuggets, tidbits? Fill us up.
Yeah, Tremaine Edmonds picked off his old buddy, his old draft classmate, Josh Allen. So did Kevin Byard. They both picked off Tua Tagovailoa last week as well. So they got both of the visiting quarterbacks in there. Colson Loveland was asked about the penalties levied against Michigan today in their championship season. He said, quote, "Sounds like we still got the ring." So I don't think he's too concerned about that. Among visitors today was White Sox general manager Chris Getz. And looking ahead to Sunday night, it's still unclear how much the Bears will play their starters for that game. The Bills have not decided on their starters either. Both coaches want to see how their teams came out of practice today. So we will know closer to kickoff on Sunday night.
So Chris Getz was there. Did the Bills, were they trying to trade for Luis Robert? Like, what the hell is that about? What's going on there?
Why not?
The White Sox are also a team. I heard that once ago. They are also a team.
They're
Emma,
a key franchise in this city. Yeah.
Great job. We appreciate you. Thanks for the insight from up there at Hallis Hall.
Take care.
That's Chris Emma. He covers the Bears for us. There's a portion of Ben Johnson's press conference that we did not play because we wanted to talk about it and talk about the overall tenor of what's going on with Ben Johnson press conferences, which we appreciate, by the way. It's something that you should hear as a Bears fan. It's next here on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Go ahead, listeners. Get that stirred up.
All right. Well, it's definitely stirred up now. You know, you're on the.
He's the best. No,
I don't know. Nobody listens to me. That's fine.
But, this is the most popular radio show in Chicago.
Well, so. I know. Okay. You said it, Lawrence, not me, but.
We'll send you the book.
Yeah, send me the book.
Afternoons on the Score.
As expected, excited here this morning. We got the Super Bowl contender coming on in town, and we'll find out a lot about our team. I know they're geeked up and ready to go. We had a good walkthrough earlier today, and a couple new concepts went in for us offensively and defensively that we're looking forward to showcasing and playing our brand of football.
That was Ben Johnson talking about the Bills, and the Bills and the Bears had joint practice today. They will play Sunday night over on the lakefront. This is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the little amount of time that we have, and we were both struck by today's press conference with Ben Johnson, because here's what I will say, Speegs. I am enjoying the hell out of this. There's a lot of truth telling that is going on with Ben Johnson up at Hallis Hall, and I enjoy it, and I hope that he doesn't change. I hope that he feels comfortable enough that he needs to say some of the stuff that he's saying about his team.
That's well said, because we have all lived through so many head coaches that don't tell you squat. And Ben, from everything that I've heard, and remember, I heard a lot leading up to his getting hired, you know?
I mean, you were on top of that story from the moment that the chase for a coach happened. You were locked in on Ben Johnson.
And a lot of what I'd heard is that, like Dan Campbell, like Dan Quinn, like some other coaches like Kyle Shanahan, he is a dude who will tell you the truth to your face and is not afraid of all the conversations you have to have. He's a direct communicator. He's a real guy, is what I'd heard. And it became apparent that some of the guys we've had here in the past were like trying to run a game. not just on the public or whatever, because that's part of what they decide to do, but kind of on some of their players, you know, whether it's Mark Trestman lying to their players and filling them up with sunshine instead of telling the truth, or Matt Eberflus being afraid to go after people and tell them the realness, you know, or Shane Waldron being overwhelmed in the front of the room, like all the different things that we've seen in the past. Ben Johnson is apparently a real dude. So this was a real answer, I thought, Lawrence, about a well-phrased question by Patrick Finley about the race to get ready. Like, how do you balance the race to get your team ready with the realities of what they can do in a game plan? And this was the answer.
That's the balancing act that us as a coaching staff have to go ahead and figure out, because, yeah, we do want it done a certain way, and we know what winning football looks like. But at the same time, we're at a different stage than in year one than where we'll be in year two or year three of this offense and this defense. And so I do it. It's a good reminder for me, you know, where I was last year. We played Buffalo in week 14 of the season, so I'm able to pull up that game plan and look at that game plan. We're not ready for some of those plays yet, to be frank with you. And then I go back and I look at the first game I called in 2022 against the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, that game plan was nowhere near what that Buffalo game plan was last year. So it's just perspective. It's the learning process. Knowing where you start is not going to be where you finish, and making sure that we don't bite off more than we can chew here at this point. We just want to see these guys go out there, play clean football, and play fast.
I hope that that's the case, but that clean football part is a problem for the Bears right now. They don't seem to be playing clean football. I appreciate him tempering expectations and I think kind of moving the goalpost back too a little bit. Like, hey, this actually might take some more time to get to a place where people are going to be super excited about what the Bears are. I don't know what the appetite is, Speaks, for Bears fans to hear that. If they don't see some real progress Sunday, if they feel like the quarterback and the left tackle spot is still a huge question mark going into the regular season,
yeah,
I don't know how much Bears fans are going to give grace in that situation.
Yeah, I don't know. And we'll deal with it. We'll deal with that because we interact so much with those people. But for you and for me, as I'm hearing this and thinking about it, I hear a coach who's trying to figure it out and is being honest and self-reflective on his own game plan from 3 years ago and how that evolved into week 14 last year. That's year three with that offense knowing what the hell they're doing. And this batch doesn't, and I don't know if they ever will know it to the way that he wants to, but he's got to try and win games. So here we go. He's going to winnow it down, and he should. And you know what I find myself thinking about, Lawrence? Because, again, our third straight young quarterback to try and dissect here. We've made the comps in other situations of Russell Wilson as a rookie when Seattle ran the hell out of the ball with Marshawn Lynch and he bloomed into what he became in Seattle. Of Tom Brady as a rookie when they ran the hell out of the ball with Antoine Smith and others in New England, and eventually he got comfortable enough that they did everything else. Like, and as much as we talk about this being like a rookie season for Caleb Williams because of everything that he's relearning schematically, I'm okay if they run the hell out of the ball for a while and keep things simple. That doesn't mean like the ceiling has changed but at first, the ceiling of what it can be at first has changed to your moving the goalposts kind of point.
The only thing that I would say, because I agree with where you're going about having young quarterbacks and kind of to bring up an old score phrase, put the Sean King mittens on a quarterback to try to get you to where you need to go in development with him. With Sean King, it was to, you know, try and win, but in this case, it's development. Those quarterbacks that you mentioned were not drafted one of one, even though one of them is the greatest of all time, the other one still has an outside shot of being a Hall of Famer. They were not one of one. They didn't walk in the door with the level of expectation that Caleb Williams walks in with. And we are talking about human beings. Like, how does he handle that? How does he handle if it is simplified? Does he take offense to it if it's simplified? I think it might be the best thing for him to learn this offense while in it and not being asked to do too much with some of the pieces that have been added with Rome and Loveland, those guys kind of growing together over the next couple of years, will he be able to handle that? Will his ego, and I don't mean that as a pejorative, will his ego be able to handle that?
Well, you bring up some good points in there. And again, the fan reaction, because he's one of one and we were told he was going to be this, like that's going to be its own thing. But imagine you're in the bubble that Ben Johnson is in with Caleb Williams and you got to decide what to do. You got to do the right thing. You have to do the right thing for the good of your learning process and the good of your team as well, because that team and that roster might be good enough to surprise you and win some games, a few more than you think, especially if your quarterback doesn't make mistakes and you run the hell out of the ball. So, yeah, there's going to have to be a lot of tunnel vision going on, a lot of blinders, and turn off these TVs.
Mitch turned them back on today. That was the first thing he did when he walked into Hallis Hall. He's like, look, everyone, you get those TVs back on. Turn those machines back on.
And by the way, and he said, hey, by the way, I should have said Jordan in that LeBron versus Jordan clip that I was asked. That guy who asked me, he's not here anymore, whatever. But I should have said Jordan. That's my bad.
That's on me. I should have said MJ, and I should have known where I was talking
trying to.
Trying
to get some of these TVs in the building turned off.
Turn them back on now.
Dude, I love the image of Mitch immediately going into Hallis Hall. But look, I've grown up quite a bit, guys. I'm ready to turn these back on right now. It's year 9 for me. I'm headed towards the Hall of Very Good at the bank. You know,
he's definitely in the Hall of the Very Good at the bank. We're going to hook you up right now with something. We're giving away a pair of general admission passes to Riot Fest on Friday, September 19th. The acts on that Friday include Bleak 182, Weird Al Yankovic, Alkaline Trio, Rilo Kiley, The Pogues, and more. September 19th through the 21st, 2025, this year, at Douglas Park. Be caller 6 at 312-540-0670. And if you want ticket information, you can go to riotfest.org.
So, a lot going on in the City Beautiful, as Lawrence calls it. The Aaron Waters Show is here. And it has been delightful chaos downtown this afternoon with loudness everywhere. Ron Coomer has left the ballpark and is headed to his restaurant in Lockport. And from 7 to 9 p.m. tonight, you could be at Coom's Corner and meet Coom, who's a delight, just a 10 of a human being. You could enjoy Yingling Bucket Specials, score some Yingling swag. Don't miss the post-game party at Coom's Corner with Yingling, Otis Brewery, and America. And after that ball game, I bet the Yinglings will be flowing.
Let the Yinglings flow. But I had a moment today while listening to the Cubs game that I was happy that my partner will be singing on Monday and not during the Aaron Waters Show. We'll explain next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
You know, we call today Feel Good Friday, so I'm trying to stick to that, you know?
I like it.
Afternoons on The Score.
So it was pretty cool when I looked up and saw the Anakin Skywalker himself, Hayden Christensen, was throwing out the first pitch. And I was like, yeah, I wonder if he's going to stick around to do the stretch, because Hayden's a really big star.
Yeah, he is. Shout out to Shattered Glass, a great movie about journalism. Lawrence, if you haven't seen it, you would love it. With him and Peter Skarsgård and several others. He's great in that. But I know I saw him and I thought, Anakin, my guy Lawrence is feeling it, man. And he got to do the stretch and he brought his daughter. It was a lovely moment.
Until.
All right, Cubs fans, let me hear you. And a one, and a two, and a three. Take to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if we ever get back, cause it's root for the Cubbies. If they don't win, it's a shame, for it's one, two, three. three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Shout out to Hayden and his daughter for rallying and getting it through. But that top, man, because like, and the organist, I don't know whether it was Josh Langhoff or John Benedet.
Game.
Like, they all had to pause together. They paused together and they had to rally the troops and be like, all right, we just got shut down by a Thunderbird. We got to restart the engines after they flew their engines way too damn close. Maybe that was crazy.
I love it. But while I took my little walk during the break, I sent you the video of the Cubs reaction while it was going on. Those guys, there's only two reactions inside that dugout. Mm-hmm. Most of the guys are terrified. One of them is annoyed, and that's Ian Happ. Ian Happ is so annoyed in that picture when it happens. And Justin Turner's like, oh my God, what's going on?
Yeah. Yeah. Ian Happ.
That's a wrap.
Ian Happ is as annoyed in that as Cub fans are watching this offense of late.
I think that's fair.
That's how annoyed Ian Happ was. And we understand, but yeah, man, it's. Whew, it's going to be an interesting thing. I'm looking forward to being there. I am, because I always love being there to do pregame, postgame, and the fifth inning of play-by-play tomorrow.
Monday, Spiegs is doing the national anthem for the Cubs-Brewers game. Spiegs, go. I can land the plane. Go watch the Bananas.
Thank you, man. Have a great night, everybody. Great weekend. And tune into the Cubs radio broadcast to hear the anthem on Monday afternoon.
For my partner, Matt Spiegel, who is on his way to go see the Savannah Bananas. For Tyler Farengol, Baby T, who did an outstanding job. It is not easy to sit in the chair that Chris Tannehill sits in, and you did an outstanding job this week. So thank you for that. I am Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support you show us every single day. We will try to repay the favor Tuesday. Make sure you tune in to Cubs pregame because they will have Speak singing the national anthem. I'm going to be in the house for that. And then we'll come back here and we'll talk about it in between games. Don't let the Cubs ruin your weekend. Try to have a good weekend. Maybe go outside a little bit and watch out for the Thunderbirds. And then watch Thunderbolts at night. I have a lot of opportunities and options for you. I apologize that I'm rambling. I want you all to have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday here on The Score.
Take down to the ball game.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.